चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद Donations of the Atmarama verse. Text 190. Begins with a Bhagavatam quote. One and fourth class men, uncivilized hill tribes, hunters, and many others born of low families, as well as birds and beasts, can engage in service of the Supreme Personality Godhead, who works very wonderfully, and follow the path of the devotees, and take lessons from them. The ocean of missions is vast, they can still cross over it. What then is the difficulty for those who are advanced in Vedic knowledge? Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2746. Brahma said this when speaking to his disciple Narada about the wonderful characteristics of Lord Vishnu. Simply by chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu and cross the ocean of missions, even though one may be low-born. Text 191. Considering all these points, when one engages in the service of Krishna at his feet, Krishna gives one the intelligence by which he can gradually progress toward perfection in the service of the Lord. To those who are constantly, text 192, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Text 190. To be elevated to the platform of devotional service, the following five items should be observed. Association with devotees. Engagement in the service of the Lord Krishna. Belief in the Bhagavatam. The chanting of the holy names. And residence at Vrindavan Athura. One's born in love for Krishna gradually wake if one is a little advanced in one of these five heads and is intelligent. The power of these five principles are wonderful and difficult to reconcile. Even without aid from them, a person who is offenseless may experience dormant love for Krishna simply by being a little effort with him. This verse is also, this is directly a verse from Bhakti Vasanatha Sindhu, 1-2-38. If a person is actually liberal and intelligent, he can advance and become perfect in devotional service, even if he has material desires and serves the Lord with some motive. Another quote by Bhagavatam, when one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Devotional service is so strong that when he engages in it, he gradually gives up all material desires and becomes fully attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. All this is brought about by attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause them to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has desires, when one has other desires, when engages in the Lord's service, Krishna visibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet. Where one will forget all desires. Bhagavatam 5.9.26. So that's just now it's beginning describing another word. Yeah, nice. So let's start beginning tomorrow, text 200. Comments or questions? Yes? Well, it's the word Atma. And he's just continuing giving synonyms of the word Atma. Because text 200 begins by saying, another meaning of the word is characteristic nature. This was the description. The word Atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence. Since all living entities have some intelligence, more or less, they are included. Everyone has some kind of intelligence, and one who utilizes intelligence is called Atmarama. There are two types of Atma. One is scholar and philosopher, the other is an uneducated or foolish person. In the mercy of Krishna and association of devotees, one increases. So this is describing, what we did is describing that not so learned, but simple-hearted person. Gives up everything and engages himself with the lotus feet of Krishna and his purities. So that's where we began in text 190. This comes from the Bhagavatam, the glories of chanting.
Yeah.
culture. How is it that such a great soul got a bad son like Vena, because whom he became indifferent to his kingdom and left it? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In family life, a man is supposed to live happily with father, wife, and children, but sometimes, under certain conditions, the father, mother, child, or wife becomes an enemy. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that a father an enemy when he is too much in debt, a mother is an enemy if she marries for a second time, a wife is an enemy when she is very beautiful, and a son is an enemy when he is a foolish rascal. In this way, when a family member becomes an enemy, it is difficult to live in family life, remain a householder. Generally, such situations occur in the material world. Therefore, according to Vedic culture, one has to leave his family members just after his 50th year so that the rounds of his life may be completely devoted in search of Krishna consciousness. And I thought of a few more verses. These are very short purports. Translation text 22. The Guru also inquired, how is it that the great sages, who are completely conversant with religious principles, desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment, and thus awarded the greatest punishment, Brahma Shapam? Therefore, it is understood that the king is able to give punishment to everyone, but in this case it appears that the great sages punished him. The king must have done something very serious. Otherwise, how could the great sages, who are supposed to be the greatest and the most tolerant, still punish him in spite of their elevated religious consciousness? It appears also that the king was independent of the Brahminical culture. Above, the king was the control of the Brahmanas, if needed, the Brahmanas would dethrone the king or kill him, not with any weapon, but with the mantra of Abram Shaha. The Brahmanas were so powerful simply by their cursing, one would immediately die. In text 23, translation, it is the duty of all citizens in a state never to insult the king, even though he sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. Because of prowess, the king is always more influential than all ruling chiefs purport. According to Vedic civilization, the king is supposed to be representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Narayana, indicating that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in human society as the king. It is etiquette that neither a Brahmana nor a king is ever insulted by the citizens. Even though a king appears to be sinful, the citizens should not insult him. But in the case of Vena, it appears that he was cursed by the Narayavatars. Therefore, it was concluded that his sinful activities were very grievous. Before Maitreya was to answer his questions. So, text 24. Vidura requested Treya, "My dear Brahmana, you are welcome with all subjects, both past and future. Therefore, I wish to hear from you all the activities of King Vena. I am a faithful devotee, so please explain this." For Vidura accepted Maitreya as his spiritual master. This always inquires from the spiritual master, and the spiritual master answers the question, provided the disciple is very gentle and devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, "By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed with the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is not inclined to disclose the secrets of transcendental science unless the disciple is receptive and devoted." As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the process of receiving knowledge from the spiritual master entails submission, inquiry, and service. So this begins with Vidura questioning why has it happened that King Anga had such a horrible son. Later on, that question will be addressed and answered. But the reasoning is that it's he is exhibiting the highest of character. He is so favorably disposed to the Dominican culture, offering all honor and respect and being guided properly, just as Rupa's class yesterday was describing, as the fourth type of king. And somehow he had this horrible son. Again, the type of activities that they were performing that entitled him to be killed by the Brahmanas without weapon, that would be described completely hideous activities. So why has the king gotten such a horrible son, such a good king? Of course, it will keep everybody from being in suspense if I tell you why. So we have to wait till verses come up. But it's mentioned in the purport here that there are different types of enemies, even within family. And if the severity of this condition of enemy is there, when it just cause for quitting family life. There's the case where the guy with the father is extremely in debt. And he's heavily in debt. Then it becomes a big burden for the whole family. It gives some indication then, responsibly, that the father or husband has in the life. When he takes that position of becoming a husband or becoming a father, has a responsibility, has financial responsibility to the family. Of course, we even know that in Western culture. But this is now addressing even the spiritual culture. Of course, we have the different conditions of life. We know from the description in Krishna book, or in Bhagavad, the position of Sudhana. Who is Krishna's friend? And he was, as a Brahma, situated in great poverty. For him, that was not a position of distress. There are many descriptions of Brahmanas and sages. For them to live in a condition of poverty is not a big problem, because they're inclined to austerity, in fact, and it's suitable for their opinions, Brahmanas. And the wives of the Brahmins similarly should not expect some other situation than the situation of austerity, simplicity, cleanliness. This is one consideration in betrothals. When there are lengthy descriptions of, say, the proper arrangement for a sage or a Brahmana to be married. The husband must be married, the husband who is Brahmana, be married either to a wife that is also Brahminical, from a Brahminical family, or from a Kshatriya family. In the case of the woman who is in a Kshatriya family, she's accustomed to very opulent living, yet at this time has the type of training and breeding that accepting the position of austerity and simplicity and so forth of the Brahmana, that is not impossible, but otherwise impossible. And it is impossible for the wife to endure what is impossible for family life to be peaceful. But it's a completely different situation. Modern society, where there isn't the austerity and simplicity and cleanliness and truthfulness and mercy and cultivation of transcendental knowledge and compassion, those features of the Brahminical culture, but a situation where the lifestyle is a very high-roving, high-spending lifestyle, and the husband is able to meet those expenses and drives the family crazy. Family members become crazy when that situation is going. Some indication is given here that that is just cause for just giving up that family life. Or the next situation is described. The mother is an enemy if she marries for a second time. Now this is addressing the attitude of the children towards the parents, particularly not parents, but here particularly mother. The son or daughter whose mother is remarried, this makes a difficult situation for the children. They have to respect the mother. In fact, it becomes also hellish for the children. Maybe a very happy arrangement for the wife, but it's a hellish situation for them. That can, according to Janaka Pandit's statement here, that can give rise as cause for the children to abandon family life, which is a very precarious situation for a child to be in. Now this is describing a wife in relation to a husband. If the wife becomes an enemy or is an enemy when she is very beautiful, of course this is a relative consideration. Very beautiful is is in the eye of the beholder. And we have statements from Shastra indicating that whatever beauty we may see here, it is insignificant compared to the beauty that is existing in higher planets. But we also have statements from Astra that one is blind, one is thinking, regardless of situation, one is thinking that my beloved is very, very beautiful and very handsome, regardless of whether by some other kind of objective standard they are it. But physical beauty gives rise to pride. And when the wife is proud, particularly proud of some attractive feature, then that becomes hellish. Pride is a hellish thing to begin with. Pride is the cause of everything. Thinking oneself in a very specific way. That is not Vaishnava position. Vaishnava position is a position. And especially when a humility is lacking within a wife, it becomes hellish within the family. And now the pure application that the son, the foolish rascal, Prabhupada describes that there are four different grades of intelligence. And the bottom of the scale is this intelligence being described here. Foolish rascal. Or sometimes called active foolish. Less of a babblation is lazy foolish. Like the monkey is described as active foolish. Active rascal. No good intelligence, busy all the time with mischief. Monkey just like them. What kind of monkey business is this? At least if it's very unintelligent or foolish, but not so active at being foolish, that's less of a abomination. And the stage above is active intelligent. Instead, rather than foolish or unintelligent, has intelligence and applies it. And the grammatical stage, or quality of grammatical intelligence, is called lazy intelligence. Rather than doing all the time, they're simply giving direction. This is the duty of responsibility of Brahmana, to give spiritual direction and guidance to all the other elements or members of society. There was one situation where Prabhupada described one of his disciples, although he was very dominically inclined, he was too lazy intelligent. So that's nothing. Lazy that he never accomplished any of the tasks that Prabhupada gave him to do. And very responsible during the dominical tasks they were. So too lazy intelligent is no good. But King Vena, who was the son of King Vena, was of the foolish rascal class. And one who has such a son becomes big embarrassment and abomination, all as King England goes on to describe. All religiousness goes down, all reputation of the family and respect of the family, which is very important for a king to have, and is unbearable for someone who is trying to become the king, or be the king, and manage and administrate. We have sons who are as horrible and rascal as King Vena. Prabhupada describing here that this happens all the time in the material world. All of these anomalies of unbearable conditions of family life. That is because there's lack of spiritual care. Even when they try to take shelter in various ways in their bodily affiliates, but bodily affiliations also become huge abominations. It's not all uncommon from these days in the headlines of the newspapers, living family members bumping off the other. The son is killing the parents, and the parents are killing the children, and some member of the family goes completely berserk and kills everybody altogether. Then puts a bullet in their head. That's completely, it's totally hellish. Even for someone who is a materialist and then has the threshold of their soul, the kind of experiences that they're going to get about these devotees would be unable to tolerate. So, proper situation of family life is very important within spiritual society for progress in spiritual life. The purport begins by saying, in family life a man is supposed to live happily with another wife and children. But sometimes it's not good. And then we see the consequence, broken families and such others. Children growing up without either sometimes mother or sometimes a father, without proper protection of the wife. Now this is Kali Yuga. Once the enlightenment is already there, however, the advice being given here to change it, here in this case, King Anga simply leaves the whole business altogether. Going to the forest, forgetting his whole materialistic environment. The Dora is also wanting to know why, just as with the king, why is the king being put in a situation where he has an horrible son? Why this strange behavior from the Brahmanas? Oh, they're the ultimate of tolerance, compassion, upholders of religious principles, and now they're killing the king because they become disturbed. Why is, what kind of conduct is this? What has King Vaino done? We want to hear the whole, Gudura wants to hear the whole description of King Vaino, which is also mentioned in the final. He's enthusiastic to hear and very respectful of Maitreya, recognizing that Maitreya is capable of delivering this information. However, spontaneously, Maitreya is not delivering, but he is delivering once the approach is made. It's practically speaking the contrast situation of King Anga and the situation with him, and the very nice relation that's there between Vidura and Maitreya. In normal circumstances, another nice feature of the Vedic culture is being found, that in normal circumstances, even though you cause, the citizens of the state include all, for the king, his praja, are all the other members of society. Of course, not even just human society, but all other living entities that are within his domain. But this includes the prince. So normally, the brahmanas are not even critical of the king. This is being described. All the citizens are never, at least, they're never insulting a king. The verse particularly reads, even he, though he sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. And the following statement is, because of prowess, the king is always more influential than all other chiefs. This is for the protection of society. It is for this, not just for convenience or mutual backpatting, but it is for the protection of society. That the learned persons, even though they are seeing some discrepancy in Vedic society, they don't insult or make great disturbance and agitate towards the head of state. Because that position of the head of state is so much important. The prowess, the capability to administrate on the part of the chief head of state is so much greater than all the chiefs or administrative subhead personnel. There are other measures that Brahmanas can take. They can counsel and advise and try to correct something that has gone astray. However, the comment is being made in action that they're left behind that measure. The Brahmanas simply cursed the king to die, and he died. Quite different than the dominant power that we find mentioned in the first canto of the Bhagavad, where Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die by the sage that was meditating. Seeing the action that Maharaj Parikshit had done to his father, immediately cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die. And with that dominical power, the thing was as good as and same in this case. The dominical power is very, very great. So in our current situation, within our spiritual training within Krishna conscious movement, the same degree of dominical power that there. But dominical power is less, very, very strong in other ways. So the final course for King Anga, when faced with this horrible situation of his ghastly son, incredibly ghastly, he just simply took shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. He turned, because it was impossible to develop his spiritual life, his Krishna consciousness, within that situation. Something impossible. And so he gave it up in order to, in some other way, develop his Krishna consciousness. So just going back, our time is up. A lot of very nice points that are addressed here. So are there any comments or questions? Yes. Well, based on the information that's here, it's difficult to say based on what you said that more information would have to be supplied. If certain circumstances were, apparently yes. If the interest of the parents was to further their Krishna consciousness, and that was a fact, not just an excuse, then apparently some extreme measures can be taken. King Anga did it. He wasn't criticized later on for having left that situation. He not only left the situation, but he left the whole kingdom in charge of his horrible son, in the care of his horrible son. Even more. But he wasn't praised for that. So again, more particulars would have to be provided to answer your question, but apparently, from this whole situation, if certain circumstances, certain conditions were in place, yes. However, that's addressed here. Later on is the good one. King Anga was capable of training, and he tried, and it was impossible. And this situation, I'm hesitating to spoil the upcoming spelling the beans. But King Jana was going out to play in the schoolyard with other children and was killing them. As a regular thing to do, etc. And there is a limit. Pacific cannot train someone, and Jonah was not a person. Yes. You're perhaps addressing a normal vertical situation where there's, because of this factor and that factor and the other factor, the child misbehaving because. So the patient, ashram teacher, should be very, very tolerant and be and try and try and try. That situation, some are just impossible. So you can, short of disowning them, you may simply send them back to their, unfortunately, send them back to their relation that they came from. But it's too much of a disturbance. That's happened. So that's another way of saying dealing with. You're not entitled to the association of devotees. Go back into the material world. Utilize the miracle power, and even just the power of speech is also the miracle power. One must be prepared to take up, taking care of the consequences of that speech, or that the miracle action, whatever. That was the thing that didn't. That's the misuse. Specifically, you want me to speak further about what aspect you want me to address.
I knew that
point,
but
just
then,
when addresses the same essence of this thing that's been described here. King Angle was justified in doing what he did because doing it for the furthering of his Krishna consciousness. And in the end also the furthering of the Krishna consciousness of society. Although they made a big mess of things for a while, the Brahmanas took care of. Arjuna gave of not wanting to fight us than the argument that King Angle had given why he was justified and Arjuna justified. I Arjuna's arguments, they're both mature on the material plane. So in that sense, the person you're addressing indicates position. But Arjuna had other reasons for wanting to not fight. Being responsible for irreligion directly, moving after fighting, killing so many things, and apparently, performing that fighting for his own interest rather than in the interest of the Lord. Removing so many unprotected women and then again furthering, being responsible for irreligion, not willing to fight against his relatives and spiritual master and so forth. Having that come upon his head, not wanting any responsibility in that way. Whereas King Unga's argument was, if he, and this is described a little bit further on, if he were to have continued king, his reputation would have been ruined, his credibility would have been ruined, the whole, everything would have ended up in a big catastrophe. His respect, the will of people to follow him because of the actions of his wicked son, his ability to be the head of state would have been destroyed also. Simply from this situation, how his family life, because of his wicked son. So it's such an anomaly that he had a wicked son because he himself wasn't wicked. So it's by some higher decision to give him that wicked son, so leading into the higher decision process to dismiss the problem. And there isn't some discussion what other alternatives he had. Could he kill his own son? Is that an alternative? There's no discussion. Could he have banished him somewhere? That's not discussed. He was the king. Some indication is given here that he was the king of the whole at that time. Whoever had banished him to would have been also in his kingdom.